I've got some resolution in a conflict that I had with Mr. Head.
Oh, you mean the guy that came over with his family to the pool?
With my neighbor, Mr. Head.
Really?
This will probably be news to him if he is listening to the show today.
Oh.
I was down in the basement where I told you yesterday they're putting in new air conditioning and all this other crap that's got to be done.
Right.
And I was cleaning up some stuff, and lo and behold,
I found
one of the little booger eaters watch, the watch that they thought they left behind.
Oh, good.
And it's a relatively expensive watch, in my humble opinion, for a kid. It's like
you mentioned the brand name the other day.
Like a $300 watch or something like that.
Pricey for a little crumb cruncher to be wearing.
Well, he's a special little boy, Mike.
That's wonderful.
With his wonderful wool knit cap. A 100-degree day. I got to see him today because what I did was I found the watch and I called the house. And I thought, well, you know, because when I originally, they called and said, if you find the watch, let us know. And I said, yeah, I tell you what. Just give me your address, because these people live a couple miles from here, and I don't have Frida's old address book. So I said, give me your address, and I'll mail it to you. And the husband, said, I don't feel comfortable giving you my address.
My you know where he lives, right?
Yeah, yeah. And even though I know where he lives, and he obviously knows where I live because he's come to my house. So I pick up the phone. I call the wife today. I go, hello, it's me. And at first she was just freezing cold. Do you like to freeze, Batman?
Can you be cold?
It's like, hello? Why? Hello? Hi, this is Don, Mike, whichever name you want to call me by. Yes, hi, what can I do for you? I said, well, as it turns out, Junior did leave his watch over here. I was downstairs, and I found Junior's watch, and then it was like a switch went off, and she melted like butter. And she said, oh, my God, we've been looking everywhere for it. She said, and you didn't break it or throw it away? I said, no. And
God,
then now listen to this. Hold on.
How about that?
She caves. She says, oh, God, he's been yelling about that watch, meaning now the husband.
Right, of course.
He's been yelling about the watch. He was positive that you had found it and that you just would not bring it back. And listen, I want to tell you, he was just such a jerk. You know, really, we wanted to come use the pool, and we called some other people, and I'm really sorry that we invited ourselves over. And I said, hey, listen, apology accepted. And she said, I tell you what, how about, would you mind if I ran over and picked up the watch? And I said, I'm just about to leave. How about I come by your place? She said, fine. I said, would you be so kind as to give me the address? Now, I know where it is.
Okay.
But I just want to get back to Mr. Head
that
I got the address.
Uh-huh.
So she told me in 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
So you went over and dropped the watch off.
So on the way to work today, I went over there. I dropped the watch off, and, oh, he's going to hate this. She has Beavis or Butthead, I don't know which one it is, of her sons that left the watch at my house. He's standing at the door, which she calls him down and says, you know, hey, Ass Munch, come here. Mr. Source found your watch. And he comes downstairs, and she says, here it is. And he looks me in the eye, and he says, thank you, sir. Oh, a sweet, sweet, sweet moment.
That's good. And
a
I'm glad
sweet moment.
I'm glad that it resolved itself. Obviously, it didn't resolve itself with him. Well, you don't know, but I mean,
well, no,
you know, if he thought that you were getting rid of the watch, then this is a nice thing.
Here's how I do know. The last thing, this is why I'm just an ass. This sweet woman, I went through this whole thing with her, and she could not have been nicer. She said, and this was like at 1 o'clock today, I said, oops, I got to fly, get into work, we got a big show today. She said, oh, we listen all the time, blah, blah, blah. I said, that's really great. She said, could you just do me a favor, could you not mention this? And I said, oh, you know, I like talking about things that happened in my life. And I said, and this is kind of a happy resolution. I said, this will be a good ending.
Yeah.
And she said, I would really rather that you didn't.
Oh, dear.
And I just stood there for a second, and I said, well, it's a free country. It's free will. I probably will say something about it. And then she said, and this is where I know where it's coming from. She said, would you just not mention that I apologize to you? and you know, I know why. You know, right. Big Bad John, yeah, or whatever his name is.
You never
is.
Got along with that guy anyway, right?
No, never did. And
that's where this tension comes from.
Correct.
Obviously.
Yeah, I mean
it's that and the kids kind of rub you the wrong way. But it really, as far as the lady, right, the lady was a good friend of your wife.
Yes, she was.
But you were along for the ride with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about this guy in passing before, right, to you guys off the air. That we would go to a neighborhood party, mm-hmm, and I would always say to Frida, who's going to be there? And she'd say, you know, oh, John and Jill and Bob and Barry and you know, and Mary and Dick. Mm-hmm. And I would go, oh, God, I hate that guy. I hate that guy. So, and one thing I do know, he's a rabid listener of the show.
Wow. Okay.
Every single day. He's like our classic case of the guy that says, I hate the show.
Right.
I can't stand the show. But he listens every day.
He listens all the time.
So if you're listening now, friend, it was real nice getting that apology from your wife today. And she should tell you that I apologized as well for losing my cool.
Okay.
And
all right.
I just want to say it was
real
nice.
And you brought the watch back that the guy thought you stole or destroyed.
It was real nice to see that your kid learned some discipline from me in just one afternoon.
Now you apologized and now it's going to go again.
And also,
maybe he'll call you again tonight.
Also, your wife had a charming frock on today. Just, you know, I mean, really, you should build that woman a pool.
Handsome woman?
You should build that woman a pool of her own, because apparently she was out doing some type of sunbathing. All I know is that it was one of those mesh things that covered up a bathing suit.
Really?
Oh, I see.
A two-piece bathing suit.
Lovely.
I might add.
Fantastic.
And I love what you've done with the foyer in your home. I only mentioned this so you know that I was actually in your house today. Just like you were in my house this weekend.
Why do I think it's still not over? Why do I think that they're really, that word, you know, the word resolution was thrown out there too quickly, I think.
And the other thing that I have to mention, there's nothing wrong with fake flowers.
That's true.
Can I just say that?
They're properly chosen.
There is nothing wrong with fake flowers.
That's you're just making sure he knows you were there.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and that's not a dig at... Boy, I'm going to get her in trouble. That's not a dig at her.
Yeah, don't get her in trouble.
That's not a dig at her.
After you mention the mesh now, I don't want her to get in trouble.
That's a dig at him.
She was very nice.
It's kind of a very compliment. It's a nice compliment for her.
Yeah, it was total turnaround today because I'm just standing there in the foyer making small talk with her, and she said, can I offer you something before you go to work? Do you want a bottle of water or a piece of fruit? And she leaned over and she said, oh, of course you couldn't have one of these pieces of fruit. These are decorative. Uh-huh. And I said, really? I've always wondered about people who have plastic fruit and stuff sitting out. And she said that her husband wants the house to look like a showroom house. So they have fake plastic food all over their house. And they also have...
I'm glad you don't want to get her in trouble.
They also have fake plastic flowers. She said she loves them. Uh-huh. She said they look great.
Yeah,
she said that it's her husband's idea to keep their house looking showroom new. And Mike, it looks like a model home.
Is there a plastic turkey in the dining room?
Are the TV sets fake?
Oh, those cardboard ones? Like at IKEA.
Yeah. It's so real.
Exactly.
No, actually, to be honest, there is a member of my family that does this.
Okay.
My sister-in-law, Judy, does this.
I've been in houses. I admire women that keep houses like that, where you walk in and the house really does look like it, you know, it's brand new.
One time,
some people can actually do that.
One time, Frida and I went to...
Yours looks like that, doesn't it?
A little.
Yeah,
hopefully.
We went to a craft fair in Ocean City. It was one of those things that she drugged me to.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, why do I got to go to this thing? And she said, because we're going to buy some stuff for Judy. And I think I talked about this on the air when I walked in, and I was amazed that there was pancakes with syrup and beer steins full of beer and real big, real looking turkeys and fake cheese.
It's expensive, isn't
with
it?
With crackers around it.
It's very expensive to get that stuff. I mean, fake food is expensive.
And I remember asking Judy, you know, what's the deal with the fake food? And she said that she liked the way it made her house always look so nice. And it just seems to me that apparently, like everything in life, there's a top end and there's a bottom end to products that you can buy.
Right. Yeah. The fake products.
And, you know, no offense
to
my sister-in-law's fake stuff looks real.
Well, because it's the good stuff, the real expensive stuff, it looks like you could actually put a knife in the turkey. That's really that good.
And this guy's fake fruit, that's sitting in a big bowl right by his door.
Here it comes.
By where I guess he puts his keys every night when he comes home.
Right.
Probably not.
It looks to it look really. There was an orange that looked like one of those softballs that we have. Uh-huh. I mean, it is so
right.
obviously
right.
bogus. And I even picked it up and I noticed that, like, for the weight of my sister-in-law's fake food is real.
Yeah.
Like you're picking up a real piece of cheese or a real
break a tooth.
Bottle of wine. Yeah. Right. This the stuff that he had bought is very. Very lightweight.
Right.
Lightweight.
Anyway.
Boy, you're really getting him.
It's nice.
Accusing him of having lightweight fake fruit.
Still, it's colorful.
That's fighting words. I'm surprised he won't be on your doorstep tonight. Hey, that's where I draw the line, pal.
See, the thing is, in reality, I'd love to just do an entire rant about the whole fake food phenomenon.
Right.
But really, I love my sister-in-law, Judy, like my own sister. She's, especially since Frieda's passed away, she's been
right.
so close to me, so wonderful to me, helping me through everything,
yep.
that I would never want to say anything to hurt her feelings.
Right.
Her plastic food, which I have discussed on the show before, yeah. is really of the highest quality.
Well, there you go.
She has, as opposed to these other people, my sister-in-law, Judy's got the best fake plastic food.
I always put plastic food in the same category as seat covers. You know, if you go into a house that has seat covers on it. I mean, it's in that same thing. It's
plastic.
Like you don't want it to be lived in. You know, it's the kind of look where you don't want to sit on anything. Especially the turkey. Hey.
There's plenty of time with me and the Adams family today. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Listen, I'm back in town. I was gone for a while, and I just want you to know that it's good to hear you again.
Thank God you're back in town.
Where were you?
I was in Afghanistan.
Oh, well, no, then I mean, it's then I'm not going to be
where are you
funny
staying?
With you.
How's the Ritz over there? Where'd you stay? The Four Seasons, Ritz? Where'd you stay?
Stayed at the Hilton.
Taliban Hilton.
Smoking room?
Absolutely.
Well, what were you on the ground over there as far as an infantryman? Were you a pilot? What were you doing over there?
I'm 0311. I'm infantry.
Infantry? Well, welcome back home.
Yeah, amen. No kidding.
I saw the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen today. When I came into BWI, I saw the state troopers are using Segways in the airport.
Segway scooters, yes. Yeah.
BWI, for everybody around the country, BWI is the airport in Baltimore.
Yeah, BWI, Thurgood Marshall Airport, right. Between Baltimore and Washington.
Who are you going to catch in a Segway? I mean, really, besides like maybe Tom, someone who can't run, who are the cops going to catch in a Segway, which goes, I believe, 1 mile an hour?
Maybe another villain on a Segway.
Uh-huh. Be prepared.
You know, that's like the episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza faked being handicapped
right.
and actually got into the rascal race
right.
with the old people that wanted to beat his ass.
You know, I was hearing something on a news show the other day that said that eventually we are going to evolve as human beings where we will not need our legs.
We'll have wheels.
We really will no longer need, because everything we're doing, we don't need to like hunt and gather anymore, that everything we do, you know, we have our cars.
That's been Rob's whole philosophy the whole time I've known him. So eventually,
no legs necessary.
No legs needed.
I gather beer, but you see, this is just another sign I'm further evolved than anybody.
You don't use your legs.
I don't, unless I have to.
Right.
Okay.
Getting it. Well, welcome back.
Listen to this.
Yes.
This moron was on that moving sidewalk.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
On a Segway?
With the Segway?
Stopped. He was stopped on the moving sidewalk, standing on a Segway.
Saving his battery.
Was this a cop doing this, did you say?
Yeah, it was a state trooper.
That's too funny. That would make me laugh, too. Well, it makes you feel glad you're back in the United States, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're damn right it does.
You know, the best thing I can feel bad probably about this show is what makes you feel the most like you're back at home, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, my wife actually sent me tapes while I was there.
Oh, fantastic.
I was just being self-serving. Thank you very much.
That's a copyright infringement. We're going to need your address.
Rob,
oh, shut up, Rob.
The serviceman's friend.
See you
later. We're coming
later.
After you on a Sunday.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, I was just going to ask Don and Mike if this...
Well, first off, Dumas, it's us.
Do what?
What?
We're here.
First off, Dumas, it is us.
You're talking.
I am Don. There is my best buddy, Mike.
Hi, you're speaking to us now.
All right, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good
Hello,
afternoon.
Yes, Dumas.
Hey, the lady you were talking to, does she resemble the redhead on Desperate Housewives?
That's a good question.
Guys,
that's a really good...
Guys
you
are
know
making
what,
pictures in their heads.
But, well, yeah. When Don, when you were talking about that, we were all doing that.
Right.
You painted a nice little picture there when you mentioned the mesh.
Marcia Cross.
Celebrity she most resembles is that chick from Sideways.
Oh, Margaret, whatever.
Sandra Oh?
Sandra Oh.
That's who it is, yeah.
Really?
Well, That's my generic.
It ties into what I was.
That's kind of my generic now for any woman of Asian extraction that I find to be, attractive.
Fetching.
Yes, right. Yes, attractive.
Yes. You know, handsome. Between that and the porno I watched today, you got me going again.
I like the. Now, listen, you know, no offense. No matter what the ethnicity. Yes, thank you. The country of origin someone comes from. Mm-hmm. You have got good ones and bad ones.
Right. Yeah.
She's a good one. As far as Asians,
well, that's nice.
She's sweet. Now, on the other hand, the lady at the cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
Not a chance.
Yes, every race, every color,
I had the time today. I was standing in line at the cleaners, waiting for some cow to... And I'm not kidding. This woman that was in front of me in the cleaners really was having a bitch session with the Korean woman, like all Korean, like everybody in the cleaners. They're all Koreans. She was having a bitch session with her about a chocolate stain on a blouse.
Mm-hmm.
This woman, I am not kidding, is a P.I.G. pig.
Right.
It wasn't chocolate.
And she's standing there, and she's saying, well, I told you to get the chocolate out of this, and this is simply not, this will not do. I will. And then she turns, and she talks to her mother, who's operating the sewing machine with her foot, yep. You know, starts doing the, and then she came back, and she said, oh, you know, my husband had a problem with the machine over the weekend, and for the first time, while this dialogue was happening in front of me, it's like a light bulb went off, and for the first time, I was looking at the woman that runs the cleaners,
yes.
Not as the nice Korean woman that runs the cleaners,
yes.
But as
a sex object,
a woman.
Yeah.
Now I'm coming off
just because she mentioned a husband,
a bit of a dry spot.
Yeah, I'm coming off just seeing. You know, Miss Asian Hottie 2005,
mm-hmm. Right.
You know, delivering the watch back to her.
Yeah.
Okay. So I really gave her a good once over.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had never thought of her this way. I never even thought she had a husband.
The lady of the cleaners.
But as soon as
she mentioned the fact, you realize that there she is interacting with a man like men and women do. And no matter what, you stopped objectifying her as just the dry cleaning lady and you began to objectify her as a woman.
And I discovered that I wouldn't if there was a billion yen outside. I really have never looked this sweet woman over.
Right.
Toe to tip of her head.
But today you did.
But I'm talking about like gnarly Korean flip flops.
Right.
White gym socks.
Yeah.
Cankles. No, she's actually quite thin.
She's trim.
See, I was picturing Margaret Cho.
No, oh no.
Always. See, I thought,
oh no.
The way he was describing, I thought fat too.
Yeah. But, no, think like somebody from Platoon.
Charlie Sheen.
No, I mean, you know, like one of the chicks from Full Metal Jacket.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, see, that's a little hottie though, the one from Full Metal Jacket.
Okay, but not necessarily the me so horny.
Right.
Think of her maybe at age 50.
Oh,
as a villager.
Thank
Say
you for
no
an
more.
Age. Yeah, I think Buzz.
Thank you.
Excellent. As a villager.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
As a villager.
That's
but you
a
were
good
still
word.
Thinking about it.
Oh yeah.
For just a moment, and then you processed.
And I realized
it
and I had, and I think all guys do this at some point.
Right.
You look at a woman, and some part. Well, Rob being the exclusion, of course.
Thank you.
But most men would look at a woman, and with some part of their brain, they're imagining.
Right.
What would it be like? I mean, even if it happens for a nanosecond.
Exactly. Do you ever look at a really elderly woman and think about what she may have been like in the day? You ever do that?
Yes.
And I think an elderly woman has to have been an absolute gorgeous woman to mm-hmm. do that. Mm-hmm. When you see a really older woman and you look and go, boy,
I'll tell you a woman,
day.
I tell you a woman I think like that about.
Who?
My mother-in-law.
Very good. In her day.
Fair enough.
Oh, my.
Dear.
Oh, my, my. This is getting a little weird.
And yet, fascinating.
Don't forget. She told me I'm a strong lead.
Yeah, when you put your hand in the small of her butt.
Dancing.
I dance.
Oh, my God.
No, my mother-in-law is an attractive-looking woman for pushing mid-80s.
Right.
She's hot.
Indeed.
I mean, you know, she's not like Letterman's mom. I watched the episode with Regis the other night, and I saw
Dorothy Letterman.
I saw Letterman's mom, and his interaction with his mom is really the part of that show that humanizes him. You know, for all the dickwads out there that like writing on message boards about you and I talking about our lives.
Right.
I mean, really, thank you from me. The best part of Letterman is when he talks about his real life.
Yep.
And when he gets his mom on there.
It's hysterical.
And she's lucky that she's as good looking as he is. Not that she's good looking.
Right.
Understand? She's an old gal. She's 85. He had her on because it's her 85th birthday.
As good looking as he is.
No. She's lucky that she's as good looking as she is because.
And not worse.
Because the looks that he has have to have come from his dad primarily. Because, now, as I said, Dave Letterman's mom.
You don't hear him mention his dad very often, do you?
No. No.
Must have passed away a long time
ago. He did, when he was a young teen.
I forget the Letterman expert over here. She what, Rob?
She remarried.
She remarried. Okay.
Does Letterman like the new dad?
You know, he hardly ever mentions him, I think.
So his father, his biological father passed away?
Yes.
And the florist?
Yes.
And then she remarried?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, he had her on, and I was looking at his mom and thinking, you know, again, you know, that's a great look inside Letterman, really, because you see the real him interacting with his mom. That's a nice bit.
Right.
She's a nice lady to stand up there and read his stupid jokes for 25 minutes.
She's getting a little more doddering as time goes on. She's getting a little more feeble.
But I got to tell you something.
So's Dave.
Even when I'm watching Letterman's mom, I wonder.
Sure.
What must she look like?
It crosses your mind.
Oh, yeah. That's just sick.
For a moment, Mike.
That's just
but
sick.
More than once that's happened?
Just for a moment.
I understand once, but more than once?
Oh, no, it just happened today.
Oh, okay.
Or last night, whenever I watched the show.
Fair enough.
I haven't
from
had
Tuesday.
A sexual thought watching Dot Letterman, Dorothy.
In months.
And it's not.
In months.
And it's not that I had a sexual thought. It was just, I was looking at it, because he kept saying, doesn't she look great for 85? And I thought,
think it was the Norway Olympics the last time I had that.
Probably the best woman that I really seriously know who's over 80, I don't mean anything essential, would be Big Frida.
Okay.
I think she's put together. Are you kidding me? She's like my Frida at age 80.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm curious.
I'm curious. I'm curious. I want to know. Why?
Why? Well,
I'm curious. I want to know.
Why?
Why?
I don't know. Because Poon is Poon. And,
I am out.
Yeah.
I've reached the brick wall now. I don't wish to say anything about this anymore. It is, Buzz is drumming on his.
What's wrong with talking about
something about saying it post 80 and then Poon is Poon?
And more specifically, your mother-in-law, and then following that with that comment.
She's fine with that. I mean, she'd take that as a compliment.
Well, I think she should.
She really would take it as a compliment,
it
is a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
She is a beautiful woman over the age of 80. She's much better looking than Letterman's mom.
Oh, I agree with that.
Christ, I do my mother-in-law, then I would do, here's a good who would you do. The woman from, and you don't know her, the woman from The Cleaners, the 50-year-old Korean woman.
Okay. Yeah.
Or Letterman's mom.
Well, I do the woman from The Cleaners.
See, you'd have to see her, though.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
You're giving statistics that I'm basing this on. Think Villager.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, Villager,
really would.
Fine.
Here's what I want.
How are her teeth?
Oh.
P-R-O-B-L-E-M.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like some of the, because when I think villagers in some of those old, you know, Vietnam War movies.
Right.
You know, they eat the bark or whatever.
What you want to think about? You'd know this. Who was the Japanese dude on McHale's Navy?
Fuji.
Fuji, yeah.
She looks kind of like an older version of Fuji.
Hot.
I'm there.
Okay.
I would do her. Step aside, Dorothy Letterman.
And the good thing about doing her is it wouldn't matter if you left any stains. Oh. She could take care of them.
Oh, God. That's right.
Oh, Rob.
There you are being practical again.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Anyway, I love meeting all these people and talking about all of them on the show.
Yes. We've gotten weirder since we've moved to Rock.
In a good way.
Yeah. Get out that stain.
I know what we can call this place. We're going to call this place the halfway house.
And God knows what she's saying to her mother when that cow is standing there waiting, complaining about the chocolate syrup.
Oh, right. Yeah, but it's rich.
Because they speak that weird, who knows what language it is, but you know,
translated. Well, it's not our language, and they can say whatever they want about you.
Translated, it's got to be something like, oh, this cow eats so much chocolate all the time. She's such a fat, big pig. Why don't we get the stains out?
I was at the Subway today getting my sandwich, and I think the lady that was working there, her husband or boyfriend came by, and they were having a very animated discussion in Spanish. I don't speak that much Spanish. I can't even really understand it at all.
Right.
And I just had that sixth sense that she was right in front of me and she was talking about me or talking about customers in general. Because he was kind of he was looking at her, then kind of glancing to all of us behind the in front of the counter. It was very strange, GP. Very strange moment.
Gringo paranoia.
I mean, how many languages can we learn? You know,
apparently just one.
Well, we got a break here.
I think they would learn one.
I think we were going to read the Craig Wilson here. Well, that'll just have to go back under the glass for another day.
Okay.
When we come back. Oh, I know what it is. We're going to be going back to the future.
Oh.
In a moment. But first, before we go to break, why don't you listen to this? Be nice.
We're trying.
This Wednesday, come out and celebrate the ratings of your favorite radio program as the entire Don and Mike Show crew hits the road and heads back to Virginia for another ratings blowout party. Forget number 15. Come bask in the warm glow of number...
It'll be money.
8 p.m. at O'Mara's in Old Town Manassas. That's the place to be. And we want to see your face in the place. Touch a hand, have a word, and let us thank you for your support. Hear Don cuss. See Mike drink.
All right.
Watch Buzz seduce. See Rob hate. And watch Joe... just watch Joe. The Don and Mike Ratings Blowout. Wednesday at 8 p.m. Check out O'MaraSRestaurant.com for directions. We'll see you there.
Incredible!
Thank you, Dude Walker. Yeah, the ratings come out very, very soon. Mm-hmm. So either we will be back on top of the world or eating the world's biggest S sandwich. Mm-hmm. That is the drama in which we live in.
What will it be?
Oh, we don't know. They don't come out today. But we're having the party anyway next Wednesday night at Mike's Joint in Manassas.
Thanks. Look Around Cafe.
O'Mara's.
It'll be a blast.
It's a great show bar, and we will be there Wednesday night starting at 8 o'clock.
Yes, we're installing the brass pole just for you.
Information at our website as well, DonandMikeWebsite.com. We'll go back to the future in just one moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.